Our text for this morning is the section that has been read from the lectern. I'd like to focus especially on verse 9. Let me read it again for you. But you are the chosen race, the king's priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We're in a marvelous time, this time between Easter and Ascension. It was a time, you know, for the disciples of a bit of confusion. They really didn't know what it all meant. A time in which they had to sort it out. They were expecting the kingdom of God to come. They had followed Jesus around for 3 years. They had heard his teaching. They had seen the miracles. They had seen Jesus crucified on the cross, dead and buried. Fear and confusion filled them. Uncertainty abounded. They were in shock. That was that time of 40 days between Easter and the Ascension. But even on that first Easter day, Jesus started to help sort them out. We see him walking on the way to Emmaus with two disciples, and he explains to them what he was saying about himself in the Scriptures. He took them back to the books of Moses, to the writings of the prophets. And then he appears to the disciples there in that upper room where they had gathered and where the doors were locked, and they looked at him and they said, "It must be a ghost." And immediately Jesus says, "Peace be with you." About the most important words he could ever have said when they were there quaking in fear. "Peace be with you. Look at my hands and my feet. See, I'm really here." He ate to show them that he was alive in the flesh. And then again it says in Luke 24, "He opened their minds." He opened their minds to understand the Scripture. He helped them sort the whole matter out for themselves. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer. He must rise from death 3 days later, and in his name, the message about repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached to all the nations." And there it is, during these 40 days and the 44 days before Easter, we have it all put together. Four large pillars. The first one that we celebrate in Lent, the fact that we have sinned, that we're separated from God. Then we come to Good Friday, the day in which the curtain is torn in two, in which the separation is corrected, in which Jesus breaks through for us. So that salvation is won for us, and there's a way back to God. And then there's Easter, the assurance of that salvation. And now between Easter and Ascension, we think together about what it means, what the fourth pillar is, the work of witness. Isn't it so interesting in the end of John, as we hear Jesus again helping his disciples to understand, he says to them, "Peace be with you." Shows them his hands. Disciples are filled with joy. Their fear is gone now, but he says it once again, "Peace be with you." And then he gives them the fourth pillar. "As my Father has sent me, so I send you." That stone rolled away on Easter. It showed that salvation was secured. And we see Mary there, and she sees Jesus, and Jesus says to her, "Go back to my brothers and tell them." And she goes back and says, "I've seen the Lord." Yes, she says, Jesus is not like that dead stone that was rolled away. He's the living stone. He's alive again. He offers new life. He offers peace from fear. Instead of the desire of the zealot, and even of many of the disciples, to go and develop a new kingdom to drive out the Romans, Jesus offers a real message to change the world. He offers himself as the rock on which to build life. You're no longer separated people. Now you're people in the kinship of God. Now you are living stones. And here we get to our text. Isn't it an interesting illustration? And so often when I sit here in chapel, I look forward and I see these many bricks placed together in the front of the chapel. And this text from 1 Peter comes to me. Living stone. Jesus, the chief cornerstone. And on that chief cornerstone, built up row on row, we are the living stone. Built together. Unity and oneness. No stone arguing because it's down at the lower layer, or another one because it's at the higher layer. Each one taking its own place. Fitly framed together and holding the whole building. Each one of us too, taking our place, not desiring another's place. And then immediately the metaphor is shifted to help us understand what living means. It's shifted to the idea of being a high priest, of standing in front of the altar, of offering spiritual sacrifices. And there, I guess, our mind has to go immediately to Romans 12, because there it's put all into perspective for us. Let's read it for a minute. What does it mean to be a high priest in our time? What does it mean to be involved in spiritual sacrifices? So then, my brothers, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Key, isn't it? But let God transform you inwardly by a complete changing of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good, what is pleasing to Him, and what is perfect in His sight. We're chosen. We're set apart as those priests were. Not because we're better than others. Not because we're better equipped. Not because we were born into Christian families. But because we are members of God our Father through baptism, through our Lord Jesus Christ, chosen to proclaim those wonderful acts of God, to give our own selves as a living sacrifice. Now we've got it all sorted out, and the disciples finally did. They too recognized that there was a place in heaven for them. Jesus said there are many mansions for us there. They didn't anymore have to worry about a kingdom in this world. But now it was a matter of proclaiming where they were, the wonderful acts of God. What were those acts? First one was that God did not let us go at Eden. When we separated ourselves, He continued to come after us. He sent Jesus to be the cornerstone, the solid foundation of love. He put that solid foundation right among us. Solid in that the promises are sure. Solid in that the payment is complete. Solid in that His love never changes for us. Solid in that forgiveness is always there. Even forgiveness when we are too much conformed to our own culture instead of being transformed. Forgiveness for living as though we were not chosen. As though we were ordinary people, instead of an holy nation, instead of those who are righteous in the shed blood of Christ, clothed in the white robe of the Lamb. Yes, a second act that we need to proclaim is that that solid foundation, that cornerstone, is set right among us. It's not out there somewhere. It's right here in the midst of us, where we can see it, where we too can touch it, where we can feel it, where we can share it with each other in the Lord's Supper. There we receive that forgiveness of sins, that life, and that salvation. That solid cornerstone is among us. God's act of resurrection is among us. Because He lives, we certainly are going to live also. He has prepared a place for us, and truly we are strangers and pilgrims here in this world, as it says in the first verse of that book. In the meantime, it's our work to get on with the privilege of witness. We're not dead stones. We're living priests. It's interesting that Jesus said, and it was read here yesterday in Luke 19:40, I tell you that if these my disciples keep quiet, the very stones themselves are going to start to speak and to shout. Hard to think of these stones up here speaking, isn't it? We are the ones to do the speaking. So we quote once again who we really are as we look back at our text. Each of us, whether we're young or whether we're old, we're chosen people. We're the king's priests. We're a holy nation. We're God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we can conclude then with a hymn verse which says, let none hear you idly saying, there's nothing I can do. While the souls of men are dying, and the Master calls for you. Take that task, no matter how lowly it may be. Take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen.